Well, welcome to these 3 hours of devotions around the cross when we can come and go at any time during these sessions. They're based on some concepts of various meetings between God and others, between Christ and others. And the first of these meetings is described in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth with a message for a girl betrothed to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel went in and said to her, "Greetings, most favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by what he said and wondered what this greeting might mean. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for God has been gracious to you. You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will bear the title Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will be king over Israel. His reign shall never end." "How can this be?" said Mary. "I am still a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child to be born will be called Son of God. Moreover, your kinswoman Elizabeth has herself conceived a son in her old age, and she who is reputed barren is now in her sixth month, for God's promises can never fail." "Here am I," said Mary. "I am the Lord's servant. As you have spoken, so be it." Then the angel left her. In the New Testament, the word that describes the virgin is parthenos. From that we get parthenogenesis, the form of virgin birth that happens at different aspects of life and nature in our creation. But this parthenos simply means a very young girl. Now, in our own culture, it's said rather wryly in Portsmouth that the lions outside the Guildhall roar every time a virgin walks by on the seafront at Portsmouth. They've never roared yet. That's because, of course, in our own culture, we don't associate the young girl necessarily with a virgin. It doesn't mean that in the past that every young girl was a virgin, but the morality of the time and the social connections of the time usually meant that the very young girl, the parthenos, would be a virgin. That's where we get the connection from, both in Isaiah and in the Gospels. So this very young girl was musing on her betrothal to the local artisan carpenter in Nazareth. And the most senior of God's angels, the one who stands in the presence of the Lord, stands in silence, immersed in the very being which is God. The angel turns and links this being with a capital B to a being with a small b who lived on the planet Earth, in the Middle East, in Israel, in a district called Galilee, in a town called Nazareth, in one of its winding streets, in a particular house, narrowed down to this individual. The angel entered one of its rooms and address this parthenos, this very young girl. "Out of all the people who have ever lived, were then living or would live on earth afterwards. And I call these powerful moments, these meetings, which happen a handful of times in our lifetime, verticals. Normally the touches of God seep gently into us, but just now and again we are seized, as this young girl was seized. A vertical drops upon us. And again, in my experience, these verticals usually fall at a time of crisis. Either a crisis for God, or a crisis in the life of the recipient, or usually both. The young girl's crisis that I'm going to describe is pure speculation. But was she musing on her future? She was very young. Joseph, much older. Her mother was a widow and wanted to provide for her daughter's future before she herself died. The artisan carpenter would be a good catch. He was reasonably well paid and educated, and carpenters were always in work. But maybe the girl mused on her future. Do I love him? Being younger, will I be a widow? Who'll look after my children, any that I have? In fact, putting all this in context, is my life a wasted life? But God is also in crisis. I've made the universe and seem to have to stand outside it like a man locked out of his own house. That's why I've got to use angels. Angels, in the old setup of speakers, is like the speakers in a radio set. They take the radio wave, which cuts through a solenoid, which works the bellows of the speaker. The oscillation of these bellows sets up a sound wave, which the human ear can then decipher. God is like the radio wave, the human ear like a man or woman. The human ear cannot decipher a radio wave. It needs a speaker. God is beyond fallen humanity. He needs an angel to link him to his universe. Like the man locked out of his house, signaling to those inside by knocking on his own door in Morse code. How will God get inside his house? Inside his own created world. He will do it through the womb of this young girl. That's what the angel has come to tell her. The prophecy from the Old Testament in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, "And a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God is with us." So this is not just any young girl. Out of all the young girls who have ever been, were then, or will be, God chose one young girl, one Parthenos. He chose Mary. Mary is on a crisis path. God is on a crisis path. These two paths now meet. Where they cross, they meet. Like the upright beam of the cross we're now looking at, which is God's need to enter his world and change it from inside, like the cross beam of the cross we now look at, Mary needs to find purpose and identity. It is here that God will become human and solve the crisis of salvation, which is the tension between love and justice. What about Mary's response? If she'd said no, did God have like a short list whereby send Gabriel next door to Anna at number 14 Virgin Street, Nazareth? Or if she'd said no, would she still have become pregnant with Jesus anyway and later have him adopted? Would God have gone ahead anyway? Or did he get Gabriel to ask Mary, because he knew Mary was the kind of girl who would say, "Yes, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will." And what about you and I? Our paths cross because God comes to us. Our paths cross because we are open to God's coming. Our paths cross because God is in crisis. He needs you. He crosses your path because he knows you're the kind of person who would say yes. You are the kind of person who would say yes to God, aren't you? Because if not, how is he going to enter and influence that part of life and creation that he wants to influence and enter? The part where you alone are the gateway that he needs. That's why, after all, that your paths have crossed. That's why you have met with him.